Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined by my co-host, Austin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we doing Out of the Drying Pan? I thought we were doing our new podcast, Out of Pork Chops and Applesauce. A Brady Bunch podcast.
Oh. For a second, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So, what did we do yesterday, Alex?
Is it obvious? We watched, okay, I think a couple weeks back, I think it was on this podcast, actually.
Yes, it was.
I told Austin I was 100% willing to watch the Brady Bunch movie, which I had never seen before, but Austin has been telling me for years that it's so worth it and I have to watch it. So, on a whim yesterday, we sat down finally and watched the Brady Bunch movie, which I loved it.
I knew you would.
I know all of you out there probably thinking, what? What's the big fucking deal with the Brady Bunch movie? It's not what you think. It's not what you think at all.
No, I think all the people listening are like, yeah, Alex, that's not news.
Oh, maybe it is me. Maybe I'm the problem. Okay, this is embarrassing to admit, but I just have to get it off my chest here. Every time I've ever seen any reference to the Brady Bunch, it's always been this movie, which came out in the 90s. So for some reason, my brain was always equating these actors and these people as the Brady Bunch. And that is absolutely incorrect because this came out in the 60s, the show itself. I mean, literally all I knew about that movie was like the memes of it, which was like, you know, Marsha rolling her eyes and going, sure, Jan, which that didn't even happen in this movie. That's the next one, right?
No, it did not. Okay, so you loved it.
I did love it. It was great.
Okay, let me know when you want to watch number two.
Anytime.
It's on YouTube with ads, apparently.
But yeah, it was super fun. I highly recommend if you have not seen the Brady Bunch movie, which I think I'm like the last person on the planet who hasn't seen that movie, but...
I'm sure you're not. I think everyone's seen the memes, though.
Okay, yeah, so we did that. What else did we do, Austin? We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I've been moaning and complaining. I was like, Alex, we never hang out anymore. So she devoted an entire day to me.
A full straight 8 hours. It was glorious.
You're really harping on that 8 hours.
No, I wasn't keeping time, but the 8 hours stuck in my head because I was like, that's a full work day.
We played Tetris, the board game.
Oh, it was super fun, you guys.
Oh, we need to do that with a group.
The one thing I didn't agree, which it was really fun, because if you guys aren't familiar with the Tetris physical board game.
I think a lot less people are familiar with the Tetris physical board game.
Than Brady Bunch movie? Yeah, sure, fair. There's an element to the game where it's like you have the Tetris shapes, which I didn't know had a name. They're called tetrominoes. Is that like always been true?
I guess. I think I've heard that before.
But they also introduced like a little single square like black piece that's called a mino.
The single mino can make or break the entire game.
Guys, we can't overstate the importance of the mino. Austin and I were going crazy about the minos.
They didn't give us enough minos. We needed more minos.
There was only like, what, 30 minos, if that? Not even that.
We needed like 300 minos at least. For two people.
There's a rule in the game. Actually, there is no rule in the game. You can use an unlimited amount of these little cheat pieces to achieve your goals and like how you want the pieces to fall. And we were going crazy over the minos, like grabbing them. Like, oh, I need a mino. I feel like you had to be there, but it was fun.
One of the minos got caught. Because it's, okay, we're not explaining this well. It's okay, a physical Tetris game. Like,
yes.
A physical, clear, rectangular board that you have sitting on the table. And you have the little Tetris pieces, a.k.a. Tetrominos, and you're physically putting them in the thing to make a Tetris line clear. We started off and we're like, this is so weird. And within like 5 minutes, we were like, oh my god, okay, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Like, we got really into it.
It's addictive.
And these little one square Minos really made a difference in every way. One of them got caught, and it took us forever to get it out.
It's not a perfect system.
No, it is not. It's a cheap $20 thing I got at Target forever ago.
It's similar to, think Connect Four. It's like a vertical.
It's exactly like Connect Four because we are 7 years old.
Yeah, and you're just literally dropping the pieces in from the top. But it's really fun. I'd recommend it. What else did we play? We had a board game night. Oh, we played The Game of Life, the Quarter Life Crisis version.
Which is not fun.
It wasn't that great. Because it was unrealistic. You start out with a house and shit. We all know that's not true.
Yeah, that's not real.
And you get a job right out the gate, like paying you $70,000. So also unrealistic.
Okay.
Austin beat me handily at that game.
That's because I'm better at the Game of Life than you are.
Yeah, it definitely. No bones about it. We also played 80s, 90s trivia, which that was fun too. The sports questions were impossible. The answer for everything was fucking like Wayne Gretzky every time.
Yep.
I'm sure, you know what? I really want like a sports-minded person. We need to have like Jacob or something playing that game because I want to know how obvious the sports questions were.
Gosh.
Like, is this like common sports knowledge or are we just like really bad?
Oh, speaking of board games, we really need to play Pokemon Master Trainer. That was your idea.
Guys, okay.
We need to figure out a system where we can record that and have it actually be fun for someone to watch. I don't know how we would do that. If anyone has any suggestions, let me know.
Yeah, let us know. Reach out to us. Get in touch with us. Because one of our ideas that we had for a potential upcoming episode, special episode, I don't know.
Video.
We were going to do our first ever sort of video recording of us playing Pokemon Master Trainer, board game from the 90s. We did kind of do something. It was audio based, but we did play Pokemon Junior Adventure game.
I love those episodes.
It was great. I highly encourage you guys. I apologize in advance for the terrible audio.
That adds to the fun, I think.
The amateur of it all. But yeah, that was our only other time we played a board game related to Pokemon. But we really were wanting to do something for Master Trainer. So if you guys have any ideas on what you'd like to see with that or, you know, formatting ideas of what would be interesting for you to watch, we encourage you guys to let us know.
Every single person listening to this is like, we don't want to see you play a board game. We want to hear you talk about 25-year-old children's cartoons. Come on.
I know. We got to give the people what they want. What else? Is that all we did? We did a lot yesterday. I feel like that was a lot. Oh, I spent $430 yesterday. That wasn't fun.
On what?
On new glasses.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Jan, you look positively goofy with your glasses.
I know. I felt like a Jan. I actually kind of got sort of Jan-looking glasses. They were, like, really big, but...
Oh, okay.
The optometrist dispenser guy was like, these look really good. You should try these. And he convinced me. I didn't even walk in there with an intention to buy glasses.
Didn't he just drop $430?
Yup.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, to be fair, I know you guys are probably thinking, Alex, you're such an idiot. But I only have one pair of glasses at the moment. So I really do need a second pair because I think everybody should have a second pair.
I've only ever had one pair of glasses at a time for my entire life.
But you only wear glasses, so you don't have a backup. What if something happened to your glasses?
Guess I can't see anything.
My glasses. I can't see without my glasses. Anything else? What did you do
Nothing.
This week?
I sat at home.
Sat at home.
Actually, just kidding. I actually have been buying a lot of random crap lately as like retail therapy that I can't afford. It's been bad.
But you got it on sale.
True. That's my justification to myself.
So share with the group what video games you recently purchased.
I purchased Dragon Ball The Breakers.
Right.
I have purchased Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe for $22.
Is that a platformer?
Yes, it is. It's a four-player platformer, actually.
Oh.
It's a Wii game that came out in like 2010, so it should be $22. But unfortunately, the retail price is $60. But Walmart, for some reason, was doing a mega clearance. So I got it.
We had this discussion yesterday about their clearance. I think it's a sign of the end times.
It's absolutely a sign of the end times. If Walmart is selling new Nintendo games, like a brand new Nintendo games for $22, run.
It's like if you guys are familiar with the Waffle House. What do they call it? There's an official name.
The Waffle House Index.
Yes. Where if a Waffle House is closed near you, you know some shit's going down. And you need to flee. In a similar vein, if a Walmart is discounting brand new Nintendo products, that's a real head scratcher.
Yes. The other ones I got were, that I'm never going to play, by the way. I just bought them. Detective Pikachu Returns, Pokemon related.
Why would you not play that one?
I never finished the first one.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I also got, I don't know how you even say it. Live Alive? Live a Live?
Live a Evil. It's Live a Live, I guess.
Live a Live.
Even though Live, the second Live is like backwards and inverted.
So those are the games I purchased. Let me know if you have any questions about them. It doesn't matter because I'll still be playing fucking L.A. Noir until the day I die.
Just for context, Austin has been playing L.A. Noir for like half as long as I've known him. Like for years at this point. And he's still not done with the game. And I'm like, How are you sinking all this time into it and not finishing it?
This is why I don't play Rockstar games.
It can't be that long, can it? I mean, how many missions is it, for God's sake?
More than I can handle.
Do you even have an idea of how far into it? Like, do you feel like you're halfway through? Do you feel like you're...
I have 4 more cases to go.
4 more? Okay, that'll take you another 7 years.
Okay, we need
years.
To finish this podcast so I can go play L.A. Noire and fucking finish it.
Okay, all right. That's going to be your mission. So we'll check back with Austin in a couple weeks and see if he's managed to finish L.A. Noire.
The answer will be no.
And you give me shit for not finishing stuff.
At least I try. Okay.
Interesting.
Speaking of finishing, let's finish up this Johto Gym Badge quest, for God's sake.
This is the home stretch. These are the final 2 episodes of this arc. So
no, it's not.
Exciting.
We already went over that.
Is it not?
It's not.
But, okay.
We'll get to it.
God, don't listen to me, you guys. I don't know what I'm saying. So these episodes that we have this week are Great Bowls of Fire.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, and then Better 8 Than Never. Get it? 8th badge, 8. Yes, we do get it.
Ah,
it's so funny.
It's better than some of our episode titles. I'll give it that.
You know, it's always a really difficult thing when the official episode titles are clever because then we can't use it for our own purposes.
Yeah, I know. They outsmart us.
And we have to figure something else out. And so, you know, inevitably... You just get what you get. We really try. Do we have our magical coin, Dragonite coin, that we're going to use?
Oh, no. Oh, oh, no.
Oh, no.
I think the Dragonite coin has coin flip rage and is just rapidly spinning out of control.
You have to attack it more in order to calm it down.
Yes, true. Okay, die. Okay, I beat it.
Okay, great.
Let's flip the coin for real. Okay, heads. That means, what does that mean? I'm doing the 30-second summary 30 and you're doing the recap.
Sure.
Oh, God damn it. I did it again. We need better terminology. Whatever.
What did we decide the other week? We decided...
It was stupid. I decided against it.
The lightning round. How about the lightning round?
Ooh. Something with thunderbolt?
Thunderbolt round.
Thunderbolt.
Thunder 30...
We're going to work on it.
30 seconds of thunder. That's embarrassing. Let's move on. We'll figure it out. Are we ready, Austin?
Yo.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
Team Rocket, having stolen the dragon thing, now has to steal some other shit. And it's kind of like a Pokemon League torch, but it's not because it's a dragon related somehow. I'm not sure what the fire is exactly. So they steal that, then they throw it into the flower fields. Everything catches on fire. The Dragonite they met last episode loses its mind and starts to blast everything. Thankfully, Charizard is here from the Charizard Valley, and he helps Ash to save the day. Claire does a lot of the work, actually. And then the Dragonite is calm.
Time. Perfect.
That was not my best.
It's a lot going on. If we remember back, this is it's an important episode when the narrator jumps in at the beginning and he's like, in case you missed it last time on Pokemon, and tells us all the important stuff that happened and the shit that went down. Team Rocket tricked the Dragonite, and very obviously a shape that looks like Charizard is flying at them. And we also get some quick exposition from Brock, who reminds us that Charizard was previously living in the Characific Valley, which is like a Charizard paradise.
Right.
Where Ash just left his Charizard indefinitely.
I like the part where Ash said, "Wow, Charizard, I haven't seen you since the time that the illusionary Entei that was created by the unknown took over the little town of Greenfield and made little girl's dreams come true as she coped with her father's death. But it turned out he was actually alive, as was her mother. Who knew?"
Yeah, so just in case you forgot all that, Ash did say that to Charizard.
Mm-hmm.
Liza's here. Liza, if you remember her, she's the Charizard girl who has the female Charizard named Charla.
You can tell from the big pink bow.
Yeah, because how else do you differentiate a female Pokemon? It's not the only female Pokemon that's had a bow on its head. Snubbull?
Like that crying Meryl had a bow on its tail.
Why is it always a bow, for God's sake? I mean, I guess it's better than them drawing a Pokemon with, like, eyelashes or something.
Oh, that would be a lot worse.
That would be a lot worse.
At least it's like an in-universe reasoning.
How do we feel about Wobbuffet's female sprite?
Honestly, Wobba Fett's so ridiculous, and the lipstick for the female Wobba Fett is so ridiculous that I can vibe with it.
I guess it works, and only for Wobba Fett. Like, if they did that with any other Pokemon,
that's a rare exception.
It's so weird. Like, you just see it, and you're like, why?
I think Pikachu's little heart tail is a little much.
Wait, does the female Pikachu heart tail, is it black-tipped?
No.
You don't like the heart-shaped tail? What else would they do?
If it was more like a different shape, I'd be fine with it. But the heart shape is a little suspicious.
Yeah, it is a little bit garish.
Yeah.
Maybe it should have had shorter ears or something.
Or boobs.
Yeah, definitely. It should have had boobs instead.
Like Pikachu was supposed to at one point.
Do you want to...
You don't know about that?
...expound on that? What?
Apparently at one point when they were Americanizing Pokemon...
Please don't tell me this.
At one point, they were considering making them, like, attractive to American audiences, which included Pikachu being a sexy tiger woman.
So they were going to go the Digimon route?
I guess. Digimon would be like, yeah, put that rat in a bikini and have her have boobs. We want to masturbate to that. Go for it. But Pokemon, for the most part, is better than that, despite what people might think of Gardevoir and despite what Megalopony's pantyhose tells you.
I mean, we've all seen Angewomon. And who's the other, like, super sexy one? Devimon?
Lady Devimon.
Levy Devimon. Sorry, I can't remember their names exactly. What other, like, super sexy ones are there?
There's infinitely many.
So many sexy ones. I never heard this, Austin. I never heard that they had plans to, like, anthropomorphize Pokemon.
Oh, I'm going to look it up. You talk.
Okay. Austin's going to research and come back to us. So, Liza and Charla are there. Claire and Liza apparently are childhood friends because, of course, they are. They're two people who have an enthusiasm for dragon-type Pokemon, even though Charizard is not a dragon-type, somehow. Apparently, Liza comes to the Dragon Holy Land every so often, just whatever, to help with their training. So my question is, if that's the case, because Claire also mentions during this part that she often comes here as well, and makes it clear that she knows Dragonite, which, if you rewind to the last episode... And I may be misremembering, but I'm pretty sure. They were talking about how this Dragonite is, like, jaded and bitter and doesn't really know anyone outside of its old master who is not here with us anymore. It made it seem like Claire did not know the Dragonite, and Dragonite did not know Claire.
Well, that's changed.
It's changed within one episode. Okay, so I'm not wrong. I'm not going crazy.
No, it was blatantly incorrect.
Okay.
That had to have been the dub mistaking, right?
I would assume so, because it's a complete 180 from the exposition we got last time in which Claire was like, it doesn't know us. I'd never met this thing. Like,
I've never been here before.
Yeah, well, she's like, she's never been there, but then in this episode, she's been there a lot and knows all the Pokemon. Like, what the hell?
She even says, like, Dragonite, it's me. Come on.
Yeah, a little later on. It's completely inconsistent. So if you were also confused in watching this, you're not alone. So they take their Charizard-powered hot air balloons over a lush valley of flowers because the magic of the dragon Pokemon make the flowers grow real nice in this part of the valley. And Kaburabi, did I remember his name right? Is that his?
Yes.
The old guy? Kaburabi tells them...
No, you got it wrong.
Oh, shit. What is it?
Kaburagi.
Kaburagi. Sorry. Kaburagi tells them... that Dragonite is known as a destructive Pokemon. All evidence to the contrary, though. If you've ever looked up any of the Pokédex entries for Dragonite, it literally goes out of its way to say it's a super kind and sweet Pokemon.
Kaburagi doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I don't think anybody knows what the fuck they're talking about.
10 minutes ago, we'd never met this Dragonite before, and now we're like best friends with it.
Brock wonders why Dragonite is their enemy, and postulates that maybe it's because Team Rocket threatened to destroy the Dragon Fang, and so it was feeling blackmailed and had no choice but to help. Which would have been a better explanation for why it was doing what it was doing. Because Claire insists that Dragonite is much too intelligent to ever have been taken advantage of in such a way.
Claire, you are incorrect. This is not a very intelligent creature.
No. It's very... Honestly, there's a lot of Pokemon that seem to easily be swayed by the flimsiest of arguments, but here we are. Kaburagi explains that Dragonite's... Okay, so we did talk about this last time. We were like, why can't they just say that he's, like, dead? Because in the last episode, they made it seem like Dragonite was bitter and jaded because its trainer abandoned it. But that's not the case, because they actually say Dragonite's previous owner passed away...
Which is exactly what we said they should have said. Clearly, something's changed between these two episodes. There's a different writer doing the script or something.
And a very different explanation as to the past and motivations of this Dragonite. Because in this one, it's no longer a bitter, jaded, lonely Pokemon. It's just a peaceful guardian that wants to carry on the will of its deceased trainer and protect the Holy Land.
Also the only dragon in a 10-mile radius, but whatever.
Yeah, the rest of the Pokemon in this Holy Land for dragons is like some Furrets and Rattata and Pidgey. So Dragonite takes Team Rocket to this place called the Dragon Shrine, which is a site that was built many, many years ago, decades ago.
Decades ago? They said 500 years.
Oh, centuries ago then.
We got a timeline finally, 500 years.
Okay, you're right, 500 years. So many, many years ago, as a symbol of peace and cooperation between humans and Pokemon, who apparently were mortal enemies at one point or another.
Was this before or after they were fucking each other?
That was my question to you, because we have some established lore, at least as far as like Sinnoh and Diamond and Pearl are concerned, that once upon a time, humans and Pokemon like boinked each other.
Well, I choose to believe that's just mythology, like in-universe mythology.
So like creation myth and stuff?
Right, sure, yeah.
So in this particular backstory, it's humans and Pokemon hated each other.
See also Pokemon Legends Arceus for that exact plotline.
Where they hated each other?
People were afraid of them.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That was the whole premise.
Good callback, Austin. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm. Sinnoh really shows the dichotomy of love and hate.
It's almost like it's a theme or something. Mm. I should play Arceus. I never did get very far in it.
It's so good.
I know. And there's going to be a sequel to it, somewhat. I do need to finish it. This is going to be my L.A. Noire project.
Oh, boy.
Don't get your hopes up, people. So the shrine is also home to this solid gold bowl that holds what's called a prayer flame. And I can't remember if they said how it got there. Like, who lit the flame? I don't know.
No backstory. It's just here.
Okay, so it's a symbol, I guess. And it's burned continuously for 500 years, as Austin mentioned. Team Rocket's big idea is that they're going to steal it, flame and all, because that makes it worth more money, and sell it to question mark. I don't know who would buy this, but I'm sure they know someone. James immediately gets set on fire, trying to steal it, and throws the bowl into the meadow, which immediately bursts into flame. So now we have a crisis on our hands. Dragonite becomes enraged and attempts to attack Team Rocket, but Wobbuffet jumps in and manages to send the Hyper Beam back to Dragonite, which only makes it madder. And at this point, it's like absolutely infuriated. It becomes so confused. It tries to kill Team Rocket, but Charizard steps in at the last second to block the Hyper Beam and save their lives.
They would have been fine.
They would have been fine. They've had worse. Definitely had worse. Everybody's super helpful. They try to put out the fire, except for Politoed, who just stands there clapping with glee over the devastation surrounding them. Do you want to talk
Politoed? Jesus Christ.
What is wrong with Politoed?
They need to take Politoed to that Nurstroid therapist.
Would that do more harm than good?
It would run away and join a gang.
I really think there's something like fundamentally wrong with Politoed.
That King's Rock is like in its brain, I'm telling you.
I don't know what the explanation is.
Like Politoed is watching for it being burned alive into cinders and is going like Politoed, Politoed, Politoed as it cheers for their deaths. Like it's next level crazy.
It literally had a giant grin on its face. It was thrilled. Misty was like, you gotta get in there and help too. This isn't just like fun and games. This isn't a show.
If it was a field of Salveo weed, it would have done something.
I don't know. Maybe it's too far gone to even recognize Salveo weed anymore.
See, this is what happens when you're high 24/7, like Poliwag. Your brain just goes.
Is this like...
That is not a scientifically endorsed statement. Don't come at me.
Is this like the old Dare ads with like the brain being an egg and like fried egg? And it's like, if you take Salveo weed and, you know, smoke it, you'll turn into a Politoed.
Like that lady, the girl who's like inflated on the couch.
Yeah.
Like a blue. Exactly. Oh my God. And the talking dog.
Oh, those ads. I don't think those ads did any, they did not do any good.
I think right now they're focusing on vaping. I think that's their current thing.
We just had a conversation, me and a couple coworkers at work, where somebody was like, we were this close to eradicating smoking in our generation. We were so close.
Oh, they'll always figure out a new way.
Of course they will. Anything to keep us all addicted and hooked and in their pockets.
Sorry, I was vaping.
Oh. So yeah, Politoed finally steps in to help. Claire, meanwhile, is trying to reason with the Dragonite, as Austin mentioned, by asking why it doesn't recognize her.
It's me, Claire.
Duh, your old friend, Claire.
Who else has this haircut? No one.
I just put in my notes, this is news to us, since there was no indication that it knew her before.
Maybe it's news to Dragonite. Maybe Dragonite doesn't know her. Claire's, like, coming up with an elaborate lie.
Maybe Claire just dreamed that she met this Dragonite before. I'm not really certain what's going on. Anyway, Kaburagi fears that it's suffering from what's known as attack rage. And Claire's like, oh, no, anything but that. Attack rage, I guess they should have just gone with outrage.
But that's a move.
Yeah, why couldn't it have used outrage and then become confused?
I mean, you don't know about the phenomenon of attack rage, which we will hear of many, many, many times after this. Just kidding, it never comes up ever again.
Oh, I was about to say, like, of all the things they could take and have a recurring thing of, it's this?
No, it's not. That never comes up again.
Apparently, the explanation they give is it's only something that happens to Dragon-type Pokemon once they attack too many times in a row. And they become angered and confused.
Sounds like a problem.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Sounds like something who's a Dragon-type gym leader who comes from a lineage of Dragon trainers should be aware of and knows how to handle.
Well, she does seem to know what it is because she's like, oh, no, not that.
Oh, okay.
But she doesn't know how to handle it.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, she comes up with a plan.
What's her plan? Her plan is calm it down by battling it.
Her plan is attacking it doesn't seem to be doing anything, so let's attack it.
And that's just what they do, actually. Claire herself is actually unsuccessful. The ultimate catalyst for figuring out what to do is, you guessed it, Pikachu. Pikachu's got to fucking step in with thunder. And they didn't do the cool thunder effect that I thought they were going to do.
Because they went into the air.
Yeah, it didn't. I thought we had a shift where to differentiate between thunder and thunderbolt, thunder now came up from the ground.
Ironically, because you wouldn't think thunder would come from the ground, but I suppose Pikachu's special like that.
Something different. I don't know. It's a cool effect. But they didn't do that. It was just thunderbolt.
I like in Smash Brothers when thunder makes a little thundercloud directly above Pikachu.
Oh,
like
that
a Pikachu-sized thundercloud.
You know how I feel about Smash. I just can't get into it. I'm never any good at it.
I'm not good at it either.
Oh, you know what we did not talk about? We didn't talk about going to trivia.
We're never going to.
Okay.
What a nightmare that was.
Maybe we can talk about it later. Just know it didn't go as well as the first time, and it was an absolute disaster in every way.
It was a mess.
Not just because... You know what? I'm going to fuck it. Fuck it. I'm talking about it anyway. Last time we did Pokemon trivia at our local bar, it went well. We got second place. It was fun. The trivia was actually good for what it was. This time, we encountered literally every issue we possibly could have encountered. We drove down to a different place, far away from where we live, came to realize that they didn't validate parking. We had to pay money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Got house cash last time for winning. They did not take it because only you can only use it, even though it does not ever specify anywhere on the card that it can't be used in different locations. They were like, we don't take outside cards. So we went there explicitly to spend it.
This is a second location. Yes.
This is the same place, just a different location. They wouldn't take it. And we had to spend $50 to validate parking, which that didn't work either. So we spent over $50. What else? Oh, Austin had a really ridiculous interaction with the hostess who...
Oh my God.
Apparently, you had to grab what was known as a full stack, which was the pieces of paper to write on, plus the scoreboard and a pencil.
Right. Meticulously counted, by the way. They gave you exactly as many slips of paper as there was questions.
Yes. So Austin did not, his stack did not have the aforementioned included pencil. And this woman thought that Austin was a complete idiot for not realizing that a full stack meant taking a pencil instead of just giving him a fucking pencil.
She said, is that a full stack? And I said,
and Austin said,
yes, it is. And then she said, is that a full stack? So I put it back down and I looked at it and I was like, yeah. And then she just said, is that a full stack? And so I stared at her. And I had to stop myself from saying, okay, tell me what the fuck a full stack is, you idiot. Because clearly you think I'm the idiot and you're the one who lacks communication skills. And then she said, is that a full stack?
How many times did she say that?
So eventually I just picked up another full stack and she said, that's a full stack. And the difference was it had a pencil. Even though we had a pen that we were going to use.
I always come prepared. I keep a pen in my purse for all sorts of occasions.
And I felt a lot better when we talked to someone else who said that she did that to literally every single person.
Yeah, instead of just communicating that a full stack requires a pencil, or just saying, don't forget your pencil like a normal person would.
Right. And there was a line of over 40 people that were sitting there forever because she was saying, full stack, full stack, full stack.
I think this is somebody who just really struggles with a power complex or something.
This is someone who, like, tortured animals growing up. And probably today.
Anyway, so that was infuriating. And so then the trivia progressed, but it turned out that everybody was getting progressively pissed off at the trivia host because the questions he was asking were blatantly gotcha questions. And people were literally resorting to booing.
I've never seen a crowd respond like that at trivia. I've never seen that before.
I mean, to be fair, the guy was being an asshole.
Yes.
For one example, there was a who's that Pokemon question where it was the silhouette of what was very obviously the official art of Spearow. And I don't know if he was joking or thought he was being funny or he legitimately did not know, because this was a trivia put on by like an entertainment company. So I'm not really sure how much they actually knew of Pokemon. They're just reading questions. The art, when he revealed it, was like a fan art of Pidgey inside of the Spearow outline. Very obviously hand-drawn and not correct. And so he was insisting that because half of the group or whatever, the teams, some people put Pidgey, he wasn't going to count them because the ones that said Spearow were correct. It was...
Other way around.
Oh, explain it then. I did it wrong.
He was going to go with the wrong answer, but then people rioted. And so then he switched it to the correct answer. And then all the other Who's That Pokemon that were wrong, he didn't accept the correct answers for those.
I just don't understand that explanation anyway, because it was very obviously Spearow, and I think the majority of the teams would have had to have guessed Spearow. So if there was somebody who guessed Pidgey, I would assume it would only be like a couple teams out of the 55 that were playing. So how could he claim that he was going to go with Pidgey over the majority answer? Like, that didn't make any sense. So of course people were booing and really upset. And there was a lot of other questions just like that where it was complete gotcha questions and people were upset.
We were not upset. I was upset about full stack, but I was not upset about the stupid trivia thing. No. So I was like, I honestly don't care.
We weren't upset, but people were very upset. There was one team that made it their mission to go around and like petition to get the Pidgey question changed.
They were my favorite team and they won. I was proud of them.
They did win.
They were who I wanted to win.
They were really enthusiastic.
Speak truth to power.
Exactly.
I was mad that our power king was not validated when the website said it would be. That's what I was mad about.
Yeah, it was really bullshit. The explanation they gave us why we stopped doing that a few weeks back or something. And I'm like, we're never coming here again. This is absolute bullshit. They just kind of do that to get people to come there. And then they yank the rug out from under you at the end saying, no, sorry, we don't do that. After you've already paid.
Oh, also don't forget the reservation. I made a reservation on Google and then they said, well, actually, you have to make a special reservation where you pay $5 per person. And I was like, I was never going to fucking do that in the first place. So we have to leave, bye. And they were like, no. You can still have the reservation.
I don't understand the reserving the spot with a monetary payment.
I think it's a no-show.
Yeah, but it's not like they reserve X amount of spots for teams. I mean, no. That doesn't make any sense. They were going to go forward with trivia regardless. All they had to do is print out more pieces of paper.
This place was a mess. It was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
The fucking food was good, though.
Yeah, but it was overpriced as shit.
Yes, it was.
But yeah, sorry to sidetrack us. I thought that you guys deserve to know.
Let's never do Pokemon trivia ever again. Let's go back to regular trivia.
So yes, where were we even? Pikachu steps in, solves the day, the problem of the day. And we get the Dragon Fang back, restore the prayer flame. And Ash, unfortunately, finds out that he just doesn't automatically get rewarded with the badge this time for helping out in a crisis. He actually has to finish his battle with Claire, so...
I thought that, too.
Sorry, Ash. Did you get that feeling where he was, like, a little bit disappointed at the end?
No, I don't think he said anything. Maybe he was thinking it, but he didn't indicate if such. But I was thinking it.
So was I. I'm sure he was like, well, don't I just get an automatic win? It was a long-winded way to say that Ash and friends solved the problem, Dragonite's back to normal, and now we're on to the battle that we had to interrupt.
I gotta speak about Dragonite.
give us your thoughts and opinions.
There's a scene where it comes back to reality. It sees, like, the ashes and the burnt landscape. It flies to the ground, picks up the burnt dirt, and sees, like, all the dead flower petals. And it starts to wail in anguish and, like, abject regret and sorrow.
Aw, poor thing.
And all the forest Pokemon jump out of Liza's balloon that they've been gathered in. And they, you know, comfort the Dragonite. I remember this being, like, a big, dramatic sequence. It was not. I guess I exaggerated that in my brain.
As a kid, you think things are more impactful than they are as an adult, but you've been weathered by time and experience.
True.
So it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, poor Dragonite. I guess we never see it again.
You would guess incorrectly.
Wow, really?
I already told you this and you already forgot. It's okay, the listeners know. They know you don't remember shit.
We do see it again. Great.
Not that you'll remember it when we see it.
Well, I hope we get some help in between then and now. Let's move on to our MVPs, our LVPs, and our quotes.
I go first. My quote, I'm just going to take the obvious one. James is taking the bowl of fire, and he says, "And besides, you know I like my bowls flaming." And Jesse says, "We can't argue with that."
Ayo.
Who doesn't love early 2000s homophobia?
Flaming bowls.
My MVP is going to be Claire for coming up with the brilliant strategy of hitting the Dragonite a bunch until it falls into submission.
She's your MVP for that?
Yeah, the good plan. Okay. And my it worked, didn't it?
I guess. I feel like that's a stretch, but sure.
I don't know. Who do you... We'll figure out who you give the MVP to. How about that?
I still don't know, actually.
My LVP is going to be Politoed.
Duh.
I actually have a different MVP, but we'll see if you take it.
Okay, we'll go back. We'll circle back. My MVP... Oh my god, I actually don't even know. I'm literally blanking out. My MVP is going to be Wobbuffet. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Always a good one.
I had to say something, y'all. I don't know. This is a weak one for me. Wobbuffet, because he deflected a Hyper Beam, I guess. Okay, was Dragonite already in Attack Rage when it did the Hyper Beam?
I think so.
At Wobbuffet? Okay. In that case, I'll give my LVP to Claire.
Oh.
For completely fucking us over and giving us, like, who even knows what the truth is, actually? Does she know Dragonite? Does she not know Dragonite? What the hell? Even if she did know this Dragonite, I feel like she should be good enough friends with it to calm it down or have some other different idea of how to handle this situation. I think the whole thing was just like a cluster, and this is honestly her fault for not watching over Dragonite more closely.
Mm. All right, do you want spoilers?
Yes.
Spoilers. Next time we see Claire, she's going to own this Dragonite in the Pokeball.
Okay, so maybe I was premature. Well, you know what? Okay, I'm glad we have that meta knowledge. However, I can only base my MVP and LVP off of what I see in this particular episode. So Claire gets the LVP for her shenanigans that she was up to. And I guess just not giving Ash the badge. Having to make him work for it.
Why are we stretching this out longer than it needs to be, Claire?
I don't know. We've already had like 5 episodes dedicated to this. My quote is going to be the only other one I wrote down. So this is after they save Team Rocket's life from Dragonite. Politoed is gleeful about this. Jesse says, "You freed us from the jaws of death and despair." She's like grabbing Ash's legs. Meow says, "How could we ever repay you?" And James says, "Do you take checks?"
All right, I'm changing my MVP now.
Okay, yeah, what was your secret MVP?
I'm changing it to Geodude.
Oh!
For valiantly scooping up the forest Pokemon in his muscular stone arms and taking them to Liza's balloon to get them away from the fire. And then he's the one who puts the flaming bowl back where it belongs because he's a rock.
Yes. Oh, can I change mine then?
Oh, okay.
I want to give mine to Onyx.
Oh, okay.
Because Onyx appeared. We didn't mention Onyx.
Fuck you, Wobbuffet. Onyx is here.
I still love Wobbuffet, but I can't believe I forgot until this moment. You said Geodude and that triggered my memory. Onyx also appears and throws some rocks on the fire in a very valiant and selfless way.
Onyx could have just rolled around and put up the fire.
Yeah.
Rolling his back.
I'm surprised he didn't have him use, like, sand attack or something, but...
What attacks does Onyx even know? Tackle?
Rock throw?
Which is also tackle?
Basically. What else? Like, seriously, I don't know. What else does it know?
It's time to consult Bulbapedia.
Oh, we lied to you guys. We said we weren't going to consult Bulbapedia anymore, but we are.
All right, up to this point, he has used Tackle, Bind, dig, and rock throw.
That's it?
That's it.
Underwhelming.
Just like Onyx.
No.
Yes.
I love Onyx. Onyx is one of my favorites, so I have to give him MVP. I'm sorry, Wobbuffet.
Oh, by the way, I got the quote for Pikachu being a sexy lady.
Oh.
It comes from Tsunekazu Ishihara, president of the Pokemon Company. He says, they turned Pikachu into something like a tiger with huge breasts. It looked like a character from the musical Cats. And I asked, how is it this supposed to be Pikachu? They said, well, look, there's a tail right there.
There's a tail right there?
Yeah.
That's the explanation? I guess it gives a whole new meaning to the word Pikachu. I'm not Pikachu, girl.
All right, better than 8 than ever.
Yeah, stop me before this gets out of hand. Okay, 30 seconds, I suppose, for me?
3, 2, 1. Go.
It's a gym battle. Woo! It's a 3-on-3. Claire starts with Kingdra, and surprisingly, Ash's first Pokemon is Snorlax. Oh my god, Snorlax is here. Snorlax does really well. Beats Kingdra. Super awesome. Liza is there. Team Rocket's also tunneling under Blackthorn Gym to try to steal the Fang again, but are unsuccessful. Snorlax goes up against Gyarados, but loses. We have... Oh my gosh, I'm losing it. Pikachu versus Dragonair. Pikachu loses. Dragonair goes up against Charizard in the ultimate time. Finale, and Charizard wins. Ah!
So, we are right into it. It's now time for a gym battle. Obviously, it's Kingdra to start out, and like you said, or slash Tweeled, Snorlax is here from Ash's side.
I was so surprised. Oh my gosh.
Big surprise. Snorlax is here.
Did you remember this?
No.
I didn't either. I don't remember anything, but this was I was tickled.
Should we go ahead and talk about the logic of Snorlax being here?
Yes.
According to Brock, Ash probably thought that his Johto lineup was too weak and sucked, and so he needed to pull out the big guns.
I love that part.
And Missy was like, yeah, that's right. That's about right.
That was some serious fucking shade Brock was throwing. Can I just say the quote? Because I have it written
down.
Go
for it. Is that going to be your quote?
No, I have some other ones.
Okay, because I don't. Go for
Actually, sorry guys, I'm going to do my preemptive quote. I thought I had more than I did. This is just going to... Can I just do that now?
Yeah.
Brock says, so my guess is Ash didn't feel like his regular team would be able to cut it going up against Dragon Pokemon. And Misty says something else. She's like, yeah, that's a good idea, Ash.
Misty specifically says, that was a pretty smart move by Ash.
I love the fact that even they recognize that Ash's team of like Totodile, Cyndaquil, Bayleaf, Noctowl, Pikachu, that shit is not going to cut it. Phampi. Yeah, I forgot about Phampi. Sorry. Not going to cut it up against a Dragon Master.
I love how they openly, this is the first but not last time, they openly acknowledge the Johto lineup is bad. From a sheer offensive standpoint.
Terrible.
Not great. No.
Ash has some real powerhouse Pokemon. He's got Tauros, Kingler, Snorlax, Muk, Charizard. Who are else some of his other...
Heracross.
Major players. Yeah, Heracross.
Bulbasaur probably would count as well. Because he would be a Venusaur by now, if he wanted to.
If he wanted to. So yeah, Ash has some heavy hitters on his team, and why he refuses to use them? Anyone's guess.
Well, I will give Ash this. It makes sense. He's training up Pokemon, who are weaker. He's trying to make them stronger. That makes sense. That's going to be his MO, actually, in the near future, moving forward, is to focus on newbies. Unfortunately, he has failed, because he has had all of Johto to get some of these Pokemon to be more competent at battling. And while they manage, they clearly don't have the raw strength that some of his Pokemon have. And I guess he didn't want to have to fight Claire 7 times to win.
I'm really surprised that... I mean, I know they evolved Chikorita into Bayleaf, but I'm surprised that he did not... Or that they didn't give him, like, Typhlosion, since we never see Typhlosion, apparently. Why couldn't they? I thought Typhlosion was, like, super popular. Like, why couldn't they have had him evolve Cyndaquil?
I don't know why Heracross left.
Yeah, and Heracross leaving, that's a big question mark, too.
Yeah, Noctowl's cool, but...
It's underwhelming.
It's got a cool gimmick.
Sure, but I don't think it's strong. It's not exactly a powerhouse that could go up against, like, an opponent like this. But I am glad to see Snorlax. All that to say, yeah. I'm glad we get a cameo here.
Yep. In-universe, Ash prefers his other Pokemon. That's fair. Mm. And Snorlax versus Kingdra. Kingdra does a whole bunch of attacks that don't really do jack shit. Because Snorlax is just a big old boy. And he can absorb any blow. At one point, he dives into the water. And it kind of looked to me when he did that, the water got sucked in and it pulled Kingdra into Snorlax.
Well, he is, like, giant.
Yeah, and I was hoping they were going to do something with that, but they kind of didn't. Eventually, Snorlax tries to do Body Slam in the pool, which, like, I could have told you that wasn't going to work, because Kingdra just swims away. And so Ash does something mildly cool where Snorlax jumps up in the sky as high as it possibly can, jumps back down, rolls with the hydro pump while in the air, so it kind of basically is water off the Snorlax's back and doesn't hurt him. And the point of all this is for Kingdra to be tired out, because even just using its own moves tires it out without even getting hit one time. And now that it's all tired, Snorlax ice punches it in the face and kills it.
Yay, Snorlax knows ice punch.
Yay. So Ash jumps on Snorlax and hugs it.
That was so adorable. I love this. This is a good battle, in my opinion, because it's Ash
Snorlax
doing...
Snorlax isn't it?
Well, duh, of course. Snorlax is there, so that's an obvious win for me. But Ash does... I mean, he's doing his Ash thing, where he's using the environment and some unconventional moves.
He's using his Pokemon's characteristics.
Which we love. So yeah, overall, a decent battle. I felt bad for Snorlax. There was a few moments where it was like getting hit and getting tired. And I was like, oh my god, poor baby. I hate to see it get beat up.
Meanwhile, by the way, there's subplots happening. Team Rocket's subplot is mercifully short. They're just digging under the gym. But it turns out they dug into a lake. Whoopsie poopsie. Liza leaves out a bowl of giant food for Charla, who has no interest in seeing her boyfriend battle. By the way, we didn't mention that. Charizard and Charla are now, like, fucking.
Oh, right.
Because, of course, we can't have a female Charizard without it being a love interest to Charizard, I guess.
This Charla, there's not a whole... The lights are on, maybe, but nobody's home.
As indicated when the Why Not... That, made, by the way, made a cameo in the previous episode we didn't mention. The Why Not is back, and it steals her food, and she's like, bruh?
Just sits there and, like, blinks. She's like, what? Huh? I guess the food's just gone now.
Well, Charizard was never very smart, so he doesn't need a very smart partner, I guess.
I guess not. I mean, it did get its head stuck in a pipe that one time.
Oh my god, Charizard's greatest moment. So now Snorlax is up against Gyarados. Snorlax is not doing well at this point. His damage is down. So the Gyarados takes it out with some Dragon Breaths and a Hyper Beam. So now Pikachu is being sent out to fight Gyarados, which, thank God, because I would have been mad if he sent out, like, Bailey for some shit. And right. As we all know, Gyarados cannot withstand electricity at all because it has a quadruple weakness. And at first, they kind of make it sound like it's going to be a difficult battle because Pikachu has difficulty landing a hit because Dragon Breath is being used as a shield.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But then Claire does something stupid. And she has Gyarados slither up on the ground and wrap itself around Pikachu so Pikachu can land a direct hit. And then it corners Pikachu to hydro pump it in the face, just like a porno I watched last night.
Oh.
Sorry, should I cut that?
Exactly like that.
Not a joke. And then Pikachu runs up the hydro pump. Ooh. And uses thunder on Gyarados' face. Why is it so pornographic?
Why do you keep... You're like digging yourself a deeper and deeper hole.
Stop blasting each other in the face. Okay, Gyarados loses. Hooray.
Okay, but the...
Yeah, I am digging myself deeper and deeper in the hole. Just like that porno I watched last night.
Wow.
Okay, Pikachu won. Thank God. I would have been mad if he didn't.
It was cool that it ran up the hydro pump, though.
Sure.
And like, it kind of electrified the water as it was coming out of Gyarados' mouth. So that was neat.
Claire is a bad gym leader for breaking strategy like that.
Ash has got to win. We can't draw this out anymore.
Fair enough. It's been 4 episodes. Goddamn. Meanwhile, Team Rocket have a new mail order from Popular Pokemon Magazine. The Mechanical Meowth Mining Machine, which they told to find a Dragon Fang, somehow. It finds a Dragon Fang, but it's Charla's Fang.
And Charla isn't even a dragon, so...
She's a dragon, but not a dragon type.
There you go.
Jesse sticks her head in Charla's mouth as she's napping. So Charla breathes fire and blasts them off. Hooray. Now it's Claire's Dragonair versus Pikachu. And Dragonair KOs Pikachu real fucking quick. So now it's Charizard versus Dragonair. Which is not as fun as Charizard versus Dragonite from last episode. But whatever. I guess Dragonair gets to do something. Hooray.
Right.
Ash has, I believe it's Fire Spin or Flamethrower or one of them. I don't know why he knows both. Uses it to evaporate all the water from the pool, which happens gradually until finally all the water's gone. Everyone's like, oh my god, all the water's gone. So that means we have to move into the air, because Kaburagi has pulled the lever that opens up the roof of the gym.
Pull the lever!
Wrong lever!
I love how convenient this is in the fact that it's like, okay, stop everything. Because it's the final match, now we're going to give you the earth, wind, and fire element match. And let me open the ceiling so your Charizard can actually do something.
They should start playing Earth, Wind, and Fire music. I would love that.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Sadly, I think it was Earth, Wind, and Speed. Or, sorry, Earth, Wind, and Sea.
Sea.
Sea, because of water. Get it?
Sure.
But that Sea does not last for long. Now we're in the air. Dragonite versus... Or rather, Dragonair versus Charizard. Charizard tries to pull his finisher, which is the Seismic Toss. But Claire has Dragonair use some sort of dragon attack.
Dragon Rage.
Dragon Rage, which causes like a spiraling disaster, a tornado. So that ends with Dragonair and Charizard on the ground in the pool with Charizard getting hurt. But then they just do it again. We get a second Seismic Toss. And this time, when Dragonair does Dragon Rage, Charizard, by Ash's instruction, does Fire Spin in the opposite direction, which cancels out the Dragon Rage, creates a fiery inferno of flame that Dragonair is now caught in. And then Charizard's able to navigate through that, slam it to the ground, KO it. Ash wins. He gets the 8th badge. Hooray!
Hooray indeed!
Hooray! And then we get a quick scene of Charizard and Charla and Liza leaving. We will never see Charizard ever again. He never comes back. Don't expect on him to come back anytime in the near future. Goodbye, Charizard. He's effectively dead.
Wait, is he really not come back anytime soon?
Of course he comes back!
Oh, okay. You were being sarcastic and I completely did not pick up on that. I was like, what the fuck? Oh my god. It was such a nothing of a goodbye. He's just like, okay, bye. See you later. Not even a tear.
Probably because Charizard's gonna come back.
I don't even... At this point, I'm like, why did they even, let him go? Because, whatever.
I mean, God knows we got rid of, Phanpy or some shit to get Snorlax up in here.
Well, we know we can't have Ash have a strong Pokemon or anything.
I think Ash should just, dump his Johto team and call in, Heracross and Kingler and Bulbasaur and Charizard.
Oh,
and,
he could be have such a good
fuck
team.
Fuck it, I'm gonna dominate.
Right. Well, good job, Ash. We're so proud of you. You won the 8th badge, called the Rising Badge, by the way. And now we're done. We're done with the gym challenges anyway. Thank God. All right. And Austin says that we're not done quite yet with this whole dragon stuff.
We are not.
We're not.
Can you guess what one episode remains for the dragon stuff?
One episode remains. I'm assuming the Dragon Holy Land thing was kind of analogous to the Dragon's Den, so I'm not really sure.
We did go through the Dragon's Den. It was like some boring tunnels.
What else could be left?
What one loose end has still not been addressed?
Why not?
Exactly.
What is our MVPs, our LVPs in quotes for this episode?
You tell us, Dragonite. Alex is first.
Okay. My MVP is going to be Snorlax. Oh my god.
Duh.
I was really, actually, I was deciding between whether to give it to Ash or Snorlax, because Ash was pretty good this episode. I always appreciate when he does the unconventional stuff. However, Snorlax is my favorite Pokemon ever, and I love it. It was so cute. Oh my god. I'm just glad it was here. And it was such a surprise. It just showed up, and I had no idea. He was like, oh, psych. You're Snorlax.
This isn't even the first time Snorlax has randomly appeared in a Johto episode.
No, but I love it every single time it happens.
It did the Feraligatr thing.
What's the Feraligatr thing?
Yeah, the sumo wrestling.
Oh, right.
Ash loves Snorlax.
It's so cute. And when he jumped on its shoulder, oh my god. Oh, I love it so much. My LVP is going to be... Like I said, I was going to give it to Ash. However, as I was talking about Snorlax, I remembered that Ash was mean to Snorlax. So I have to give Ash LVP.
How is he mean to Snorlax?
Because he kept trying to spam Hyper Beam and poor Snorlax was dying.
Like when it was fighting the Gyarados?
Yeah. He was come on, Snorlax. Get up, Snorlax. Hyper Beam, Snorlax. Really pushing it. And I was like, Ash, please. It's so precious. Don't do it like this. I think he was relying on Snorlax so heavily that he really was trying to push it really hard. You know how Ash can be. He can be a little bit drunk with power and he just gets blinded to the fact of his Pokemon actually need rest or help. He can't just strong arm his way through a situation all the time. So sorry, Ash. I liked how you battled, but you were a little mean to Snorlax. My quote, actually, I know I said that my quote was going to be the Brock thing from the beginning, but I did have another one. So can I do that one instead?
Why do you ask permission?
I don't know.
You always do. I don't know why.
Maybe we have a rule or something. Okay, so it's when Meowth and Team Rocket are tunneling, trying to find the Dragon Fang, and Meowth has his little, like, iPad thing that he's, like, looking on to, like, locate the Dragon Fang. And Meowth says, the Fang should be right here, because it's beeping. And Jesse says, I can almost smell it. And then Meowth says, hehe, that was me.
Yeah, very rare fart joke.
I know, we never get fart jokes.
So it's my turn, and you took literally both my quotes.
Oh no, I have one more if you want.
Yeah, give it to me.
You're not going to like it, but it's all that I have left.
Well, there's no other good quotes. That was all there is.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, this is not a very good one. Rock says, until we're together, the battle goes on and on. My battle for your love will continue until you're by my side forever. Liza, why don't we stop this craziness and realize that I'm a lover, not a fighter? Misty says, enough. The poor woman is suffering from battle fatigue.
I am sorry, Austin. I took both.
How dare you? My MVP will be Charizard.
Ooh.
I don't know. He did a good job beating that Dragonair, I guess. My LVP is going to be Charla for caring more about stuffing her face than supporting her boyfriend during his time of competition in a battle. Right? And also for seeing that why not steal shit and just being like, like Tim Allen in Home Improvement. Fuck him. And
oh my God, what a reference. Holy shit.
I don't know where I was going with that. But that's it. Charla and her big stupid pink bow. I know she didn't pick out the pink bow, presumably.
Yeah, but she could rip that shit off.
She's had quite the downgrade since we last saw her when she beat up Charizard.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Charla was like the superior Charizard.
But she does what a lot of women do, which she found a man and she had to lose all of her independence and all of her ability. I never realized I had such strong feelings about Charla.
Charla just suffers from how the writers made her. It's not her fault that humans are inherently misogynistic and can't even, like, put aside their bias even for a fucking Pokemon. Poor Charla. Why didn't Liza bring Charla with her? It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. I mean, someone had to see the why not, I guess.
I guess, but
I would have had Wobbuffet be the one to see the why not again. But I guess that's the next episode.
Whatever. That should have been a running. Actually, I like that better. That Wobbuffet continues to see it and nobody believes him.
Oh, like he could be trying to convince everyone and it just isn't happening.
Yeah, like every single turn he's, you know, just out of reach. You know, Wobbuffet's like trying so hard to be like, look, guys, look, or whatever. But instead, it's like different people are seeing the why not. And it's like isolated incidents. It doesn't make sense. Like, what the fuck does Charla seeing why not add to the story? I mean, Charla's going to be gone in an episode anyway. Like, it doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah, Charla's already forgot about that. Why not? It's like, there's nothing going on between her ears.
Maybe is the bow like the King's Rock and like is interfering with her like brain signals?
I think Charla should leave Charizard for Politoed.
Oh my God, they'd be perfect for each other. They deserve each other. Oh, Charla, we hoped better for you. Okay, well, that is it, you guys. Those two episodes. Any final thoughts, Austin?
I'm disappointed by that first episode, I'm sorry to say. Oh, well.
The attack rage. Oh, well. All right, well, what's on the agenda, though, for next week? How are we going to finish this off?
Well, the next episode is called Why? Why Not?
That's clever.
And there's two different variations. There's the one that I own on DVD that says Why Not? Like the actual words, why not? I thought I was going crazy because all the sources spelled out why not, like the Pokemon name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to look it up according to Bulbapedia. And they renamed the episode later to spell out why not. Like copyright WYNAUT.
That's interesting that it changed.
Yeah. So why not? I don't know. I couldn't tell you why. And the second episode is Just Add Water.
Just Add Water?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a waterfall involved.
There is not.
Oh.
I remember that episode pretty well, actually. I don't know why.
I have zero recollection, so I guess we'll all be surprised together. We appreciate you guys joining us this week. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so at our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can join us over on our new Blue Sky account. We are no longer utilizing Twitter, so Austin, can you please remind us what our handle is on Blue Sky? It's brand new.
All right, it's really complicated. It's Out of the Drying Pan.
Out of the Drying Pan. You heard it here first, folks. Check us out over there. Join us there. We're really glad to have you. Follow us. We also have an Instagram, Out of the Drying Pan, @outofthedryingpan. And if you like what we do and want to support our podcast, you can do so if you'd like to visit our Patreon, We have super cool bonus content that you can unlock over there, so please go ahead and check us out. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.